Lord, thank you for tonight and God, this chapter and what you have for us tonight and where we will be going in the next few weeks from this chapter and all that you have prepared for us, Lord, that the importance of your gospel, Lord, and the importance of your gospel has been for me in my life, and Lord, that you'll be blessed from what I have to share, Lord, and this chapter. So God, just pray that you'd be lifted up, Lord, and lifted up tonight in our lives, that we would leave here more changed, knowing you better and your plan for us. And pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Well, last week, the title, as we know, a little refresher out of chapter 4, Cain and Abel, and how the exhortation was for us to humble ourselves. That we all have that Cain in us, that old man, that old nature of pride, and the pride that was in his heart, and the envy and the jealousies, and looking at ourselves, and what came out of that was murder, and murdering his brother because of pride and anger and jealousy and sin. So as we get into chapter 5. Well, as we ended chapter 4, we saw the family of Cain, and we saw what was produced out of what happens when you leave the presence of the Lord, and the exhortation that we would get super close to the Lord, and we would always be reminded of the gospel and Jesus. And we're going to see today what it was for Enoch, and that Enoch walked with God. So I want to just read through chapter 5 for us. And we will kind of see what the Lord has out of that. So let's open up to chapter 5, and I want to just read straight through this chapter, and then we'll talk about it. And so it's a genealogy. So verse 1 says, "This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created the male and female and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 99 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years, and he begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years, and he begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 5. So the history, the genealogy, the Toledoth of Adam, from Adam to Noah. And there's been some cool studies. You probably have heard them, and you can find them, and you can study all about them, all their names and the meanings of their names and how their meaning of their name. You have the gospel hidden, as it were, in this chapter. And I'm just going to, so all these names that we went through, I'm going to just kind of give you a what those say. And there's a couple of them that a couple of the guys say that are, they can be a couple meanings, but let's just kind of go with where we have with Adam. As we know that Adam means man. So there's 10 names in this genealogy, and it says, man is appointed mortal sorrow, but the blessed God shall come down teaching that his death will bring the despairing comfort or rest. And so the gospel. So I take from chapter 5 and really the importance of the gospel. And so what I want to do tonight, kind of with this chapter, is I want to share my testimony. So the title I have for tonight, as I consider this chapter, is "You're Here Now," right? And so those have been important words for me as I've walked with the Lord, and really dwelling all week on that that verse with Enoch and what Enoch's name means, and his in that list of names in the gospel is teaching, or you know, we talked last week, Enoch is dedicated or to train up. And so that's where the meaning of his word is. And so I look at Enoch and I look at the church, this one man that was raptured, that was taken out of the world and was with the Lord. So that's what we have, that hope of the church, the body of Christ, this one man and the body of Christ being one body would be raptured out of the world. And I believe it wholeheartedly. And the Bible, I believe, clearly teaches this doctrine that is such a dividing topic amongst the churches, but the hope of the gospel. And so Enoch, and that Enoch walked with God. So this week, just really sitting on that verse all week long, was that Enoch walked with God, and God being Elohim, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he walked with the fullness of God in his life, and he was not, for God took him. And just this morning, you know, hearing the teaching in Ephesians that God is not a harsh taskmaster, and I can give testimony of that in my life. And so that's what I want to do, is really tie this together, and really not prepared. I didn't write it all down, but I just want to, that you guys, that I would walk with you guys in the idea that you guys would know who I am and how I got to where I am at today and in my walk with God. And so with my family and my children, and we all have a testimony. So I think I will go right into it, and then maybe some of these verses that I got scattered around here will tie in as I give testimony of what's come about in my life and that I'm here now. And so I'll start with, I was born in Spokane, Washington, my mom and dad, and I would say my testimony is I got saved as I heard the gospel at a young age, probably 5-6 years old. I don't know exactly when, but when I gave a testimony in Fargo, the Lord took me all the way back from the very beginning, because I have a very many times where I heard the gospel and received. So the importance of the gospel in my life is, you kids are growing up, and the how the gospel will keep you, right? The crucifying of the flesh and the newness of life that we have in this new life that we have with the Lord. So young age, getting saved, believing. So this was the work. So I have these verses too. I know Jeremy, we've been talking over the last several weeks, John 6. And so the works that that God has for us, the work that I could do, the only work that we can do, John 6:28. They asked the Lord, they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." So I heard John 3:16 at a young age, and I heard that, and I considered it, and I said, I want to believe in that, right? And that I don't want that eternal hell that awaits all those that don't believe in the gospel. And so, young age. So then walking through that, when I was about 5, 6 years old, we moved to North Dakota, New Rockford, North Dakota, north of Jamestown. I was young, so did kindergarten in Spokane, moved out west. Me and my dad, we took the bus out to North Dakota, found the farmstead, and grew up in New Rockford, North Dakota. And then we found an old trolley car at an auction sale, and that's where we came into the food business, what I do now today still in for work. So that's how I came to do that. Is my the parents, they bought that old trolley car at an auction sale, saw it for sale, and bought it, and that's what they still do today. And so grew up in a small town, New Rockford, kind of an outsider in the community. So I've thought about this a lot this week, is because Friday, the town that I grew up in, I played in the state championship. I didn't really play, but I played a few plays anyways, and they were in the championship again, back-to-back champs. They won, and they have an awesome team. And so I just walking through this, a lot of memory, like growing up, going to school there, right? And so went there, and you know, we were out in the country, 10, 15 miles out in the country. And so not a whole lot of church. I was though, so in those small towns in North Dakota, it's either Catholics or Lutherans, right? And so we went to probably an evangelical church. I know my mom and dad, they both kind of grew up as like Assemblies of God, that kind of just good old fashioned Bible believing church, right? You know, and then we moved to a small town, and there's either Catholics or Lutherans. And then there was a really small church. I was like an E-free, but never really, I don't know, I guess. Went there a few times, I remember growing up, and probably heard the gospel there too, and knew the gospel was a, growing up, heard a lot of Billy Graham, right, programs at night, and so had the teachings of what Billy Graham and given the gospel and being kept by the gospel growing up in my life. And so walking through that, and then when I was 16, 17, I met Aaron, my wife, who is my wife today, in 2004, and met at the carnival, right, and in Red River Valley Fair, and whatever you want to call that, as a young 17-year-old kid, love at first sight or whatever, no, but, and so... So I'm growing up with my dad. So I'm just giving my testimony. This is not prepared. So I'm just going with it. Okay. And so really just the emphasis of my walk with God. And I want you guys to know, you know, who I am, right? And what, how I am here today. And so I'm just going to walk through it with you. Okay. So, and then my senior year, I met Aaron that summer at the fair. And we moved back. My family, they sold the farm, and we were all growing up. My sisters moved out. They moved to Fargo. And so we would visit in Fargo, and I remember we went to a church. We would go visit, and I remember the pastor there. I was thinking about it in worship. I remember the pastor there, this deep, bellowing, golden voice, right? Pastor Doug Anderson. And it was just an awesome, awesome church, wonderful teachings. I was stuck in Fargo as I lived out there my senior year of high school, and I moved straight back after getting through high school there. My parents were out there, and so my parents were dealing with us moving out of the house, right? So my brother was 4 years younger than me. He was here last week, and so he finished that out, and I came back and kept doing the concessions thing in the summers, and I came back, was with Aaron, and talked about that a little bit, and then from there, what happened from there? So walking with the Lord, but really, you know, not having any depth of Bible teaching, really, and so would go to church, you know, in the winter times, and then the summer, did whatever I wanted to do, building a business, doing whatever I wanted to do, yeah, kind of memory lane so this week. So, I didn't go to college. And Aaron went to college, NDSU, and I just kind of chased her. So growing up with my dad, I was very close to my father. And And so it's very true that who you spend a lot of time with, you become a lot like. So it's a lot like my dad. My dad chased my mom, and when they were young too, and I kind of did it just like my dad did. I, you know, did it wherever I could to marry Erin. So, and I did. So I won that. So, and so we got married in 2011, and I was talking to Erin. She got saved in college, early on in college, and so walking through that in this life, and really a lot of sin in between, you know, confess your faults one to another, and I'm not getting any details or anything, but just having God with me through all this, and just how special it's been being able to walk with God in my life, and having Him in my life, but not without trials and tribulations and self-inflicted sin that you may find yourself doing, or maybe you young guys are planning your world after once you get out of mom and dad's rule, right? And but just how important, so don't despise these times that you get to come and hear the word of God, right? And that'll carry for you. It carried me throughout my whole life, just having that as a young age, and not having any, I didn't really grow up with any idea who the Holy Spirit was. I knew there was Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And I knew the basics, you know, of what the gospel was, and that God loved me so much, He came and died, and I wouldn't perish. And so walking through that in my life, and we get married in 2011, and not kind of unconventionally, we went into the courthouse and got married, and 2011, and we lived in Seattle for 6 months and went on a honeymoon, and but still had a little bit of church. We never were a part of a church family, I guess you could call, but then we came back to North Dakota. We had that church that I, with Doug Anderson, and they were going through a few pastors trying to find their long-term pastor, and they finally did, and then I think they're on the third one now. And, you know, good church, nothing against any of that, but very special times in my life of being, having that in my life to keep me. And so from there, so 2011, we get married, and then we found out we were having Bo at 2015. So he's 10 years old this year. And that really changed a lot of stuff, because my mom introduced me to a guy named Bob Davis. Because she lives in Post Falls, so she started going to church there called North Country Chapel, and she shared it with the family and my dad. They're out there and got the Word of God, right? The teaching of God's Word in my life, and so I ate it up. I listened to thousands and thousands of teachings for years, and then, you know, so I started to want to do a servant church, so we were serving a little bit, and then. Then the point is then the Word of God entered my life, and then I realized I always knew I should be baptized. You know, then you would hear, well, you don't have to be baptized, but I knew in my heart that I should get baptized and how important that was. And then it wasn't until 2017, Erin, we found out she was pregnant with twins, and I finally got baptized. And so that first step of obedience in my life wasn't until 8 years ago, right? It's only been 8 years ago now. And then really things really started to change for me. And so, I was doing concessions. I was doing whatever I wanted. I was doing late night crowd, serving the bar crowd at night. And I enjoyed that. I always knew I would talk to friends. Do you think this is okay that I'm doing this and I'm around this environment? So I knew the Holy Spirit. I look back in hindsight, I knew the Holy Spirit was whispering at me as I don't want you around this. Right. And so I remember 2019, to give you more, you know, cool story. I guess they're cool, but they're crazy stories. I can look back and go, God protected me in some really scary situation. There was one night I had my van at night, and a guy, I was cleaning up, bundled up, and it was at 1:30 in the morning, and I drove out, hooked up my hot dog cart right on the van, and I started driving out of the parking lot. Okay. And I'm going down a couple blocks. I don't know if I've told you guys the story. I've told you that story. And I'm going down a couple blocks. This is over by the Flying J. And I'm on 32nd. And I remember when I'm pulling out the driveway, the side door was open. in my van. And I was like, that's weird. So I just reached back there and I shut it and I kept driving because I'm bundled up in the, and this is mid December. And I'm driving down and then I'm over by Costco on Veterans. And all of a sudden while I was driving, I heard a phone ring and I was like, oh, that must be somebody must have thrown their phone away in my garbage can because this is the crowd you're working around. And then I get to Costco and there's a guy behind me and he attacked me. Right. And so while I'm mid driving, so I pulled him over my head, you know, there was a shovel back there and then he finally got out of my grip. And a crazy story, middle of the story. So a lot of those kinds of stories, I look back and go, God protect me. That could have been a different situation because this was the time, this was like 3 weeks, there was a kid that had gone missing in a camper. He was found dead. And so like this guy thought I was taking him. I thought he was going after me. And he finally got away, but I had his phone and I ended up figuring out how to open the phone to get a hold of him. I ended up getting a hold of this guy and meeting up with him. And we just kind of like, bygone be bygone. Crazy story. And I look back at that and really God has, his grace has been in my life, right? To protect me in some really what could have been bad situations. And so, and then that's 2019. I would have remembered that was probably a year before 2020. And so I had a lot of business going and a lot of doors started to shut in my life after getting baptized. So I had all the concessions at NDSU. I did all their sports, basketball, volleyball. It was awesome, right? I did everything. I was so busy and then got baptized. Then all for no reason, there was no bad blood. It wasn't my fault or anything. Just the door completely shut. They were canceled that, right? And so I look back in hindsight, again, I see God's hand in my life as I walk with God, right? And so from there, then 2020 hits, okay? I know some of you guys know this story that 2020 hits, everything shut down. We know that story and church shut down where we were starting to maybe get involved in serving and doing things that all shut down. And 2020, that's the spring. We sat down and watched all the TV shows everybody watched, right? I don't know if you did, but well, you know, I watched all the TV shows growing up, you know, and movies and a lot of things you shouldn't watch and series and all this kind of stuff. And then, but looking back as I say that, as I learned Calvary Chapel and who I was listening to, Bob Davis, okay. I didn't really know what Calvary Chapel was. Never heard of it. Didn't really know. All I know is I heard the Bible. He was teaching the rapture. I knew some of that foundational stuff that I was really stuck on that I really believed in. And it was 2019 in the spring that the church that we were going to announced that they could no longer stand and believe in the rapture. They couldn't teach it from the pulpit. Even though he believed it, he could no longer teach the doctrine of the rapture because the voting board all voted that this is the way we're going in the Evangelical Free Church of Association. And so I remember being really bothered by that. I was emailing the pastor and all this and then 2020, it all shut down. Everybody shut down and back to that point is I knew my sister had told me there was a Calvary Chapel in Fargo. You know, there's a Calvary Chapel in Fargo. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was, for a long time, for probably a year and a half, I listened to a couple of Seths, and then I was going to go to church, but either as we're in Israel that fall, September, and I was like, okay, well, I can't go then. When I was finally going to go, yes, we're in Israel, okay, wait till Israel's over, and then 2020 hit. That's all when that happened. And then business started, right? We didn't have our fairs and festivals, and had to figure out a different way to make a living. And so we set up the stand at Fleet Farm. And did that through the weeks, and then finally, so after a fallout of another event that I did for where I met Aaron, right, very special place to me, and I remember bawling from that, and the door just got closed on that, and then I finally was like, you know what, it's Wednesday, it was my mom's birthday, July 8th, went to church, Calvary Chapel, Fargo, and I remember the night, right, so. Pastor was talking about my hot dog stand and where they were going to meet for outreach. And after the study, I think it was a Mark study, actually, the last I think it was Mark 15, I believe. And I looked back, and so the craziness of 2020. And so then I went up and was like, hey, I'm that hot dog stand you're talking about. Oh, really? And I was like, wow. And then to find out they were praying for all the businesses that summer for downtown. And I happened to be one of the businesses, one of the girls were praying for. And so knowing that I was being prayed for, and then it was open, and there was no, you know, didn't adhere to all the ordinances of man and government to tell us not to gather. And so I found my church home, right? And just how the Holy Spirit put all that together in my life. And so walking on from that, I remember from there, then we did the outreach and downtown, and we were giving out hot dogs, and we were, you know, they had whatever their parade was for the angry parade, right? And then I remember like yesterday we were slinging, we were singing in worship. And you guys were there too for that day?
Jeremy was,
okay, yeah. And so we were singing. I remember they were so loud. I was kind of spooked because I got there early, got the cart downtown, and they were chanting. It was a scary time because they were really, you know, because of the George Floyd and the anti-everything of what was going on. And then they were marching down the street, and we were worshiping, just worshiping and sharing and giving out food and sharing the gospel. And then when they moved past us in front, I just remember it was like, in my mind, it was like a roaring lion was behind us, right? And they just were just silent in front of us. And it wasn't until they passed us a block, and then they all got loud again. So that was so cool. And I remember saying to Seth and Tanya, as I think I was crying because I was pretty emotional. I'm like, man, this is like, it was just moved, right? And I remember saying to Seth and Tanya, I was like, man, I should have been here earlier. Why didn't I come earlier, right? And so, and then the word that they immediately said, well, you're here now. And that's kind of where this chapter 5 as testimony, right, of what God has done in my life, and then moving on, just wanting to serve God and getting the word of God in my life and knowing more about him, the importance of God's word in your life, and growing, and then being scared to talk in front of people, and then God showing me that I'm just really full of myself and pride, right? That's all it is. And I just thought I was shy, or, you know, how the world calls introverted or whatever. That wasn't my thing. And that's why I never was baptized all those years, because the opportunities I had, I didn't want to get in front of people. And so I just always disobeyed what God wanted me to do. And yeah, I remember being baptized in 2017. I was so scared up on stage but it was awesome. It was a good thing. And so, chapter 5 of Genesis. So that's kind of, as we consider, as we're walking through this, you're walking with God as we are called the church. Enough about me and what God has done in my life. But I encourage you guys, as we're in this small fellowship, to kind of share your lives together. That's what we do in church. We share our lives with one another. And as I've read through this chapter many times this week, you know, it's like walking through a graveyard. If you've been to a cemetery, right, and you're walking through and you're seeing all these names, and you have this guy who was born this day, and then there's that dash, and then he died that day. And then you'll go to the ones where there's two names, and you got one that has a birth and a death, and then there's one with a birth and a dash, and they're, you know, that's where they're going to be buried. They're still alive. And waiting death to be buried with their wife or their husband or whatever that may be. There may be Bible verses on those monuments. And I look at chapter 5, and I see, you know, how God said to Adam that if you disobey, you will surely die, right? Dying, you will surely die. And how what God said comes true, and they all died. Adam, right? He finally died in 930 years. And we know, looking back, is that, you know, as the world was different before the flood, as chapter 6 is going to be the flood, you know, they lived in that hyperbaric chamber, right? You know, as we see what we do for healing today, you put yourself in a hyperbaric chamber, you can speed up healing, and you see how they lived for almost 1,000 years, all these guys. But the gospel, as I talked earlier, right, the gospel is in chapter 5, and in your life, the gospel, the importance of your gospel, of your, of the gospel in your life, and then the preacher teacher, I think is the, one of the points I want to make for Enoch, and how, to make it simply, right? As the body of Christ, as you're considering your call, I had Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, as we're talking about our walks, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation or the calling wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And you know, that's why I like come up to Grand Forks. I really like just the, how small and that we're one body. There's no divisions of groups yet, you know, and so it's kind of refreshing to come. We're all together, the kids and the ladies and the men, and we're one body. You know, Enoch was one body. He walked with God. And so no matter where you're at in your life, you're here now, you're walking with God, right? And maybe you've been backsliding, you know, all the times I backslid and did things my way, you know, I was still his, I was still walking with God. And he was, you know, how we consider and we learn and see that he's not a harsh taskmaster. He doesn't make me do anything. God doesn't make me come up here and come and teach or serve and do anything, and that we get to do these things. And as the church, you know, as Enoch is representative of the church, and his name means teaching or preaching, that we are all called, as you think of yourself and your calling, we're all called to teach and preach the gospel, right? That's the only thing that the function of the body of Christ. So every little thing that happens in the church, right, is all geared that the gospel is taught and preached. And so it's so simple, because I struggled that my, you know, you're wondering, well, what is my calling, or what is it that I'm specifically supposed to do? And it's all about preaching and teaching the gospel. And so every little thing, cleaning up the carpets, cleaning the bathrooms, bringing a meal, bringing water, you know, as you come and you serve and you do those little things, all the end goal, it all is for the charge of preaching and teaching the gospel. And so Matthew 28, 18 through 20 has been a big verse, I think, the last few months. It wasn't until maybe like 3 months ago where we live at, well, I'll just say the number, we live at 2819 is our home address. And I was like, 2819, why does that sound so familiar? And I was like, it's Matthew 28:19, and that's all of our call. And so I'll read it. Well, maybe I have it in my iPad here. Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, right, learners of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Yeah, the role of the church, the body, is preaching and teaching the gospel. And so the exhortation to, you know, as a young man, a young kid, I was kept by the gospel of Jesus, right, what he did. And so that all that time, maybe not like a, you know, the point being of my testimony is that today I'm here, and I'm it's because of the gospel. All those little times, right, has God initiated me. I didn't find God, right? None of us found him, right? That God initiated us and initiates us by his gospel. And so what was it in worship? I was listening, and I think it was the song from Keith Green that we sang. And it was those words, I want to take your word and shine it all around. I just kind of took note of that, and how, you know, you think of the Jesus movement in the 70s, and just how that everything they did was, you know, there's Jesus everywhere. They were painting pictures, they were making little arts, they were doing everything they could to get the gospel out. And so I maybe mentioned this early on. We're in Genesis 5, and so I believe by the Spirit we're going to, the next 2 to 3 weeks, so watch the calendar. We're going to take this Genesis 5, and we're gonna go through the epistle to the Colossians. And so come prepared, read ahead. We will, I don't know if I'll do it at least 3 weeks maybe, and we will go through the Colossians as I consider Colossians, what was it, walk worthy of, well, I'm gonna read it in chapter 1, and it's so matches so well with the time that we're living, because chapter 6 we're getting into judgment, right? How Methuselah, his name, if you caught that in that name list of the gospel, Methuselah, who's Enoch's son, Enoch walking with God, he names his son death. Your death shall bring judgment. So imagine going up and everybody you met, you know, you introduce yourselves. Hi, my name is, my death will bring judgment on the world, basically. Right? So he lived all those years, you know, Methuselah. So that's what his name meant. And so we have judgment coming, and we know we're not going to endure the judgment and the tribulation, the great tribulation of what God is coming for the world. And we have chapter 6, Noah being a picture of Israel, carrying Israel through that great tribulation. So before that, I think the Spirit wants us to go through Colossians, because, you know, some of these notes I have here is, you know, the person to, you know, this is what Colossians emphasizes. The person-to-person relation with Jesus is the emphasis of the epistle. Christ is in you as the hope of glory. And you walk in him, we're rooted in him, we're builded up in him. Chapter 2, 6, and 7, in him brought to perfection. Chapter 2, verse 10, and we died with him. 2:20, and we're raised in him. And your life is his with him in God. And how Colossians is all the, you know, the all-sufficiency of Jesus. So the only thing we need in our life is Jesus. When we think of what we do at church, we come and, you know, the simplicity of just getting God's word and singing, you know, and the beauty of a small church. And now Colossae, the church in Colossae was a small fellowship. And you have all those churches around. You had the Laodicean church was nearby. And we're in this era of the Laodicean. And I hope we can get to this Colossians and we, in Grand Forks, that we could be hot, right? We can get back to our first love and know that, you know, if we could just get back to Jesus, right? And just be all about Jesus and just paint Jesus all around Grand Forks, right? As you go out and don't let the enemy fool you when you want to tell somebody the gospel. Maybe just give them a tract. Just tell them, just be so in love and in love with Jesus that you just tell everybody about Jesus. Who cares what people know, right? Or you know, that's what the world needs is the gospel. As you go out and you're at the grocery store, you just blurt out, Jesus loves you, you know? Be a Jesus freak, right? A freak for Jesus, right? And, you know, I think of you know, sometimes you'll be at the gas station. I was at the gas station earlier. I'm walking with God. God's speaking to me, and you're kind of waiting for these perfect circumstances to happen, and you're like, well, if he comes and talks, well, just... And then God reminded me that, you know, or maybe you're at church and you're kind of poo-pooing and you're like, oh, maybe you've been in those big situations where the larger gathering and you're like, well, nobody's coming and talking to me. And just that reminder that God's an initiator and we're kind of just thinking of ourselves and that we should initiate others. And so, you know, I'll kind of go through that as well. If this happens and that happens and then I'll go talk. It'll just be perfect, whatever. But God told me, like, no, I initiated you that we would initiate others in the gospel, right? Just go up to them and word vomit the gospel all over them, you know, and wherever it happens, how could that go wrong? I don't think it can go wrong. And so, and to be filled with the Spirit, right? To do that. So, yeah, we covered Enoch, we covered Methuselah. And so we're going to take a pause in Genesis 5 and we're going to spend the next couple weeks in Colossians. And so come ready and, ready to get to know him. The Colossians is all about the gospel, right? The simplicity of the gospel and dying to self and the cross and the importance of the cross in your life as we put the old sin to death And in my life, as I give testimony, you know, I had to put sin to death in my life, right? By the cross. I needed to pick up my cross and I needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was in 2020. As part of my testimony to it, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't weird, right? It wasn't, I didn't go hanging on chandeliers and doing a bunch of weird things. I look back and because you wonder, because you go, it's new to you. You're learning the Holy Spirit. You're hearing all these tongues and you're kind of, I've never heard tongues before. And through all my life growing up, I'd never heard anybody speak in tongues until you were the first one I ever heard speak in tongues. Yeah. And so you're kind of looking for all the experiences. And so now I look back in my life in 2020, I know I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but learning because I asked. I was like, I heard of it because Seth talks about it a lot. He asked me, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? I had no idea what any of that meant. And I knew the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I knew it was a person in the gospel. And so learning of all these things, these gifts, I had no idea what gifts of the Spirit were and where they were found in the Word of God. And as I learned and I was growing in 2015, and then I was talking to my mom because I know she'll listen to this and she'll... I'll get my criticisms tomorrow from this mess of a testimony. But and then I talked to my mom. I said, when did you start listening to Bob, right? And so they moved out there. They bought their place in 2008. She said 2008. And I was so mad. I was like, for 7 years, you were listening to Bob on the radio and going there, and you waited until 2015 to share that with me. So, but... You know, not to glorify Bob, but it was just the teaching of God's word. And it was a faithful pastor to just walk you through verse by verse. And I absolutely love it. And before I segue into that, yeah, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, back to that. I look back and I know that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit because there's a repentance of sin in my life that was, I had sin in my life that was so life trapping, right? And I was freed from that. I have testimony of that. Is I won't say it on here, but you know, I know that it's because of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that all changed. And there's still things that God's like, this needs to go. We got to clean this up. And it's that walk with God that I so enjoy it. And two, as I prepared for this, as God was like, I want you to share your testimony and how you came to this. I'm gonna share your life with Grand Forks, you know, that came from, I was walking, you know, go for a walk, you know, and rather than just sitting there, you know, it was true because I started walking, was pacing around and walking in circles, and God was speaking to me through that. And it was like, do this. And this is, he was showing me all about this chapter and about Enoch and all these little things, you know. I was just asking him, what am I going to bring? You know, what can you get out of a study of just this genealogy? Yeah, you had the gospel and their names, but I really struggled with chapter 5 because I was gonna include it in chapter 4 and 5, or I was gonna do 5 and 6 together. But I know God had showed me to do one chapter a week, and at least till 11, and then we'll kind of go from there. So God, just we come tonight. I come tonight, Lord, thankful for what you have meant to me in my life and my wife and my family, and how you've put circumstances in my life to get my attention, and just how important your gospel, your good news, has meant in my life and keeping me and growing me in all the ways that you are, and how as Enoch in his name, Lord, as he taught the ways of the Lord to the people in his time. And so God, I ask that you would grow us up and bless the Colossians study that we'll go through together, that will be even more rooted in you and built up in you, and we'll walk with you and die with you and be raised up and have that resurrection life with you, Lord. So just bless that and prepare that, prepare your people, and bless Grand Forks. God, I pray that you'd fill everybody up here with your Spirit to just tell everybody all about you. And even if it may seem weird to us, Lord, that we will be faithful to be weird for you. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.